This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dearest respected students, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. طيب. Inshallah, you're all doing well, and inshallah, the team at Circle of Hope are looking after you and giving you a great experience that you will need in your life to understand disability and disabled people, and what does Islam say about such people. This is what I wanted to share with you in about 10 minutes, inshallah. So let me first begin by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us all. And He created us all differently. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that from among His miraculous signs is that He created the heavens and the earth, and He created us different in our tongues, meaning we speak differently, different languages. There are over 200-300 languages in the world. وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And our colors are different. Our skin color is different. And also, our abilities are different, our strength is different, our beauty is different, and so on. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and each and every single one of us is unique to the other. Even our DNA is different to the other, and our fingerprint is different to the person next to you, on your left and on your right. And all of this is from Allah's creation. Not only that, but it is from the miraculous signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with all of this being said, Allah Azza wa Jal, He made the nobility and the honor and dignity of a person not in his physical strength or his beauty or his color or his ability or whether a person is disabled or he's not disabled. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal made the worth and the value of a person in his taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum," that the most noble, the best of you in the sight of Allah are those who have the most taqwa. What does taqwa mean? Taqwa meaning those who have the most obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and keep away from that which displeases Allah Azza wa Jalla, keeps away from the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in the eyes of Allah, all humans are equal. Whether they're disabled or they're not disabled, the only thing that makes one better than someone else is his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And in order to develop our taqwa to be the best to Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal continuously tests us to see who will thank Allah Azza wa Jal and who will be pleased with Allah and who will be patient with the calamities that Allah Azza wa Jal sends upon him. And you know, tests, they come in many different forms and different ways. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said in the Quran, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will test us بِالشَّرِّ, with evil, وَالْخَيْرِ, and good, as a test and as a trial, فِتْنَةً. And so just as a person who lost the ability to walk, if someone is paraplegic, he cannot walk, he's being tested. Just as Allah is testing him, He also is testing the one who can walk. That is also a test. And you know, the blind person is being tested just in the same manner as the one who has eyes and can see is being tested. The one who's blind, Allah Azza wa Jal wants from him patience. And the one who can see, Allah Azza wa Jal wants from him to use his sight in that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, to see what is halal, what is good for him, and to avoid seeing that which is haram. So everyone is tested, no matter whether you have a disability or not, everyone is tested. And so, yani, let's say here as well, that no matter what the test is, we must accept the tests of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we must accept all the decree from Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it's good or bad. And this is from the pillars of Iman. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. That we must believe in the divine decree, the qadr, that is from Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it's good and bad or bad. And when we say bad qadr, what we mean by this is that, you know, as Ibn al-Qayyim is a famous scholar in Islam, he mentioned that there is nothing such as absolute evil and bad in the qadr of Allah. There is nothing that is totally bad. He said it is apparent bad that has a lot of goodness hidden underneath it. So when we say that we must believe in the bad qadr, we mean that which we see as bad. However, there's a lot of good in it. And why do we have to accept the bad qadr? I mean, the good qadr, it's easy for us to accept it. If Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that I have healthy eyesight, that's good qadr. It's understandable. We're going to accept that. But why do we have to accept the apparent bad qadr? Let's say someone is blind or paraplegic, cannot walk, or someone is autistic, or someone is disabled intellectually, or whatever it is. That's seen as an apparent bad. Yet there's so much goodness hidden behind it. Why do we have to accept this? Why do we have to accept this test? Because when Allah decrees something, He decrees it out of full knowledge and full wisdom. When Allah decrees something, He decrees it with full knowledge and wisdom that you and I don't have. We don't have the knowledge that Allah has. We don't have the wisdom that Allah has. This is why we must accept the apparent bad qadr, because it is Allah, the all knowledgeable, the all wise, who decreed it for such a person. So you must accept it, because Allah is more knowledgeable than you, more wise than you, and He gave you that which is good for you in your life. طيب, concerning disabled people and their reward, let's speak about this. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, and this is a hadith Qudsi, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ فَصَبَرَ عَوَّضْتُهُ مِنْهُمَا الْجَنَّةِ. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah said, and this is the reward concerning disabled people, He said that Allah said, if He tested the servant, if Allah tests someone with حَبِيبَتَيْهِ, His two beloved ones, what does that mean? It means his eyes. These two eyes are called the beloved one. Why? Because they're the loved limb in a person. Without your eyes, color doesn't mean anything. You cannot see, you cannot. So these are called habibatay. If Allah was to test someone and take away his sight, and that person was patient, Allah Azza wa Jal will give him the paradise in reward. He'll replace those two eyes and give him the paradise on the day of judgment. Now, when the scholars of hadith interpreted this hadith and explained it, like Ibn Battal and Al-Mulaqqin, these are Islamic scholars, they explained this hadith and they said that it also applies to anyone who was tested with the loss of his sight, loss of any of his limbs, or the ability to function with that limb. Disabled people are also included in this hadith, bi-ithnillah. So anyone who Allah Azza wa Jal tests with his health and his condition, and he loses ability in one of his limbs or more of his limbs, or loses a limb altogether, if he was to be patient and seeking the reward from Allah, wanting Allah to give him reward and to give him the paradise, then that is what Allah Azza wa Jal will give him on the day of judgment. MashaAllah, what a beautiful reward for the one who remains patient over a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him in his health and in his body. طيب. Now, concerning disabled people and their rights, let's speak about this so that non-disabled people must understand that in Islam, disabled people have rights over the non-disabled people. So now, let's say that Islam acknowledges disability, and Islam encourages the believers, you and I, Islam encourages us to be compassionate and caring and kind and merciful towards disabled people, and to assist them whenever they need help. And if you looked into the seerah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who knows who Umar ibn al-Khattab was? Umar ibn al-Khattab was the, he was the second Khalifa in Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab, during his time, a father came to him and he said to him, "Oh Umar ibn al-Khattab, my son is a blind man." Yani he's disabled. And he's not able to reach the masjid to pray in congregation. Shufu subhanallah. A blind boy, he wants to pray in the masjid, but he cannot because of his disability. So this father went and complained to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and then Umar ibn al-Khattab immediately provided housing for this father and his child next to the masjid so that he's quickly able to go to the masjid and go back home. In the time of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, who's this person? He is also a Khalifa, but he was from the Khulafa of Bani Umayyah. So Bani Umayyah ruled at a time, and one of their Khalifa was Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. What did he do at his time when he was ruling the Muslims? He asked every ruler, meaning the governors of the provinces. You know how like when there's a huge country and then there's states and every state has a governor? Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, he wrote to all the governors of the different cities. He said to them, "Send me the names of all those who are blind and paraplegic, or they have a chronic illness." Chronic means a permanent, long-lasting illness. Or anyone who has a disability, write their names and send them to me. And what he did when he received the names, when the names were sent to him, he ordered that every blind man should have an employee to guide him and look after him. Allahu Akbar. Look, today, if there's a blind man, the government, maybe they give him a guide dog. But Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz did not give people a guide dog. He gave them a person himself, a man, to look after the blind and to take care of him. And Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz also ordered that for every two chronically ill people, that one person should serve him. And for every person with special needs, one person should serve him. And he employed them all, and he gave them a weekly or a monthly wage. See how Islam looked after the disabled people? Even in the time of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he also was a Khalifa from Bani Umayyah. He ordered the establishment of a foundation, of a center that specialized in looking after the disabled. Like, you know, all boys and girls now, you're sitting in a center that's called Circle of Hope. This center was something that was founded originally by Muslims. It was founded by the Muslims. They founded centers and special places of care to look after special needs people and the disabled people. And Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he granted a regular allowance, a wage, to people with special needs. Yani people that were disabled, the disabled people, he gave them a wage. And he said to them, "Do not beg anyone." So he made them sufficient enough not to beg others. And in addition, he appointed people to serve them. And he also gave those people a wage as well. So you find this, yani, plenty in Islam, that people would look after the disabled people. Also, and above all of this, we find in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that disabled people, they took on roles of leadership and they led the prayers and they were responsible for the adhan. Yani, I give you an example. There was a companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum. Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, he was a blind man. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed him responsible for making adhan, you know what, yani, what does that mean? A blind man cannot see the day and the night. He cannot see time to know when the adhan is going to happen. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him that responsibility, and someone from the Muslims would assist Abdullah. He would come to him and he would say to him, "Now is the time for adhan. Get up and make adhan." Allahu Akbar. And this is a huge role in Islam, to make adhan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would leave Medina and travel outside of Medina, he appointed once again Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum known as the blind man, he appointed him as an imam in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. Yani this is a huge role. This is the biggest role. So we learn from this that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the disabled people heavy roles, and he made people around them serve them and help them for whatever they need. Also, we find a beautiful story in the Quran, still related to Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, but in this story Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us what kind of manners and respect we're supposed to have towards disabled people, and how we're supposed to consider them and feel this love and care and mercy towards them. What a beautiful story. Listen to this. Yani the first teaching we find in Islam was concerning this companion, as I told you. His name was Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, and he was referred to in the Quran as Al-A'ma, the blind man. What happened in his story? He was blind, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with the elite of Quraysh. He was giving them da'wah. Yani at this time, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still living in Mecca. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found an opportunity, and he was sitting and standing with the elite, the high people, the kuffar of Mecca, and he was talking to them, and they were responding and they were listening, and they looked like they were very interested. And all of a sudden, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, this blind companion, he comes running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to him, "Allimni mimma 'allamak Allah, 'allimni mimma 'allamak Allah. Teach me from what Allah taught you, teach me from what Allah taught you." When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a little upset, because he's talking to people that for the very first time have shown interest in Islam, and this companion is coming and disturbing him. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum and he frowned. You know how you frown? Frowning is when yani you create these lines in your forehead. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this in the Quran. Where is it? When Allah said, "Abasa wa tawalla," that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he abas, he frowned and he turned. Why did Rasulullah do that? Anja'ahu al-a'ma, because the blind man came to him. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this story in the Quran, and he was telling the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't do that again. So Allah Azza wa Jal is raising the already high character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to an even higher level. But what I want to tell you is this. I want to ask you a question. If you frown at a blind man, is he insulted by that or not? Anyone can answer? Yes. Is a blind man insulted if you were to frown at him? What's the answer? Yes or no? No. No, because he can't see. So why would Allah Azza wa Jal reveal Quran saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't do that again? You see how sensitive this is? Even though Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, the blind man, could not see the frowning of Rasulullah, so he did not feel insulted in any way, but even then Allah is saying, don't do that. No one should do that. Yani if that's the kind of respect you're supposed to have for a man with disability, imagine then when the disabled person can actually see you and interact with you and so on. Subhanallah. And in the Quran, Allah referred to Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum as the blind man. You know, isn't it? If I ask you a question, if someone is blind, is it rude to say to him, "Hey, you blind one"? Is that rude or is it okay to say? What would you all say? Is it rude if you see someone blind or someone disabled and you said to him, "Hey, disabled"? Is that rude or it's good to say? It's rude. Of course it's rude. But look in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah referred to Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum as the blind man. How did he refer to him with his disability? When Allah referred to him with his disability, he was actually praising him. How was he praising him? Allah is teaching us that even though Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum is blind, at least he was able to see the truth. He was a Muslim. Whereas the kuffar of Quraysh, They can see, they weren't blind, but they were blind to the truth and they never accepted Islam. Those elite from among them that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was speaking about. So when Allah said about Abdullah ibn Maktoum, "An ja'ahu al-a'ma," Allah was praising him. He was saying, yes, he's blind, but he's not really blind because his heart is open to Islam and he has accepted the truth. What a beautiful story that we're going to read until the Day of Judgment. This story will continuously be read for us to learn how sensitive and how we're supposed to deal with the disabled people. And you know, let me, I'm about to conclude. I want to share with you two more things. Number one, and that is also in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal corrected our understanding when it comes to feeding between disabled people and non-disabled people. You know, my dearest students, that at the beginning of Islam, both the disabled people and non-disabled people, they would feel uncomfortable eating with each other. They didn't want to eat at the same table and they did not want to share the same plate. Why? Because the non-disabled people, they were worried that if they ate with someone blind, that the blind person won't be able to pick and choose the best food because he cannot see. So the non-disabled people, they felt bad. If I ate with someone blind, I might eat all the best food and he gets the less best food that's on the table or in the plate. And the non-disabled people, they were also worried that if they ate with someone paraplegic, someone that cannot walk, they were worried. They didn't want to eat with him. Why? Because the paraplegic person cannot sit like someone who is not paraplegic. So by the time the paraplegic person extends his arm and eats a morsel of food, the non-paraplegic person would have eaten two morsels of food. So he would eat more than him. So the non-disabled people felt uncomfortable. I don't want to eat with someone like this because I might eat more than him. And also the non-disabled people were worried that if they ate with someone that had any other form of disability, it's not going to be like someone without a disability, because some disabled people, they must eat slowly and carefully so that they don't choke on their food and so on. So non-disabled people did not want to sit with them and share a meal with them because maybe they ate more than them or so on. The companions were worried. And also at the same time, the disabled people were uncomfortable to eat with the non-disabled people. Disabled people were worried that the non-disabled people might be displeased or unhappy with the way they eat because it could get a little messy and so on. So all of this, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Quran and he addressed this situation. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ. Allah says, there is no sin upon the blind man. There is no sin, no harm upon the paraplegic person. There is no sin and no harm upon the sick or disabled people. أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَتَ, at the end of the ayah, that you eat all together or eat separately. Don't feel uncomfortable. Allah is telling the society, do not feel uncomfortable to share your food or to eat on the same table as those that are disabled, or the disabled to eat with the non-disabled. It's all good. Share your meals. So Allah Azza wa Jal made feeding of the disabled a must and a matter of priority in society. Allahu Akbar, how beautiful is this? Now we're coming to the conclusion, final things that I want to mention, and that is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed us that the reason for our provision and victory, it comes through weak people, and that includes people that are sick, people that are poor, and it also includes people that are disabled. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, أُبْغُونِ الضُّعَفَاءِ, he said to the companions, call the weak people. A weak people here, it refers to people that are weak. It also, and as an extension to this, it could mean people that are poor. It could also mean people that are disabled, that have lost ability of their limbs and so on. Not that they are weak, but it includes them in this category. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, call them all. فَإِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He provides for you and He grants you victory based on these people, based on their salat and their dua. Why does this make sense? It makes sense because non-disabled people are usually distracted with this life and its entertainments and its difficulties. They are jealous of one another and so on. This is normal behavior of non-disabled people. While disabled people, they are not distracted by all of this, especially if they have like an intellectual disability, you know? They're not distracted by all this. Disabled people, they often see life through pink glasses. What does that mean? If you see life through pink glasses, that means you're unaware of the dark side of this world. They don't care about the media and the news. They don't talk about politicians and corruption and injustice and many of these issues that you and I speak about. So their dua is more pure, more sincere, and it's closer for it to be accepted. Naam, Allahu Akbar. And finally, my dearest students, one more point I share with you, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal forbid us of something. He said to us, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not give nicknames, insulting nicknames to one another. So it is not allowed to make fun of other people, whether they are disabled or they're not disabled. But why am I sharing this as a point? So I can teach you a few things that we need to be careful and aware of when we address disabled people. Number one is this. When you're referring to disabled people, don't say the disabled, right? The disabled. Don't say that. That is dehumanizing someone. That is disrespect. Don't say the blind, the deaf. Don't say that. Rather, what you should say is the disabled people. Or you say disabled people, blind people, deaf people, like this. Right? Learn this. Number two, never ever use the word normal as an opposite to disabled. So when you want to say, oh, these are disabled people, don't say, and these are normal people. That's rude and that's disrespectful. Rather, the opposite of disabled is non-disabled people. That's the word you're supposed to use. Because disabled people are normal. They are normal people. That's how Allah created them, right? That's how Allah created them. So you do not say, oh, these are disabled people and these are normal people. That's rude. You would say, these are disabled people and these are non-disabled people. Also, when it comes to the word handicapped or wheelchair bound, these are disrespectful words. Don't use these words. Rather, if someone is using a wheelchair, you will say he's a wheelchair user. A wheelchair user. Don't say wheelchair bound. That's disrespectful. You will say wheelchair user. These are the common words that sometimes we can say them without paying attention, but they could be hurtful and disrespectful to disabled people. So avoid them and be careful of these words. And at the end, Jazakumullahu khairan for listening. And inshallah, you have all benefited. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.